friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest combine news and photos, videos, and much more of the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. And we are very, very happy to bring aboard with us right now from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the partner of the guy sitting next to me, Doug Deacon. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing fine. And you got Jim working? It's about time.
Well, on that note, want to ask you about
nice
some of the people no longer working here in Berea, Doug, and we didn't get your take on it, but let's start with the fact that Joe Banner is gone. How surprised, shocked were you to hear about that? What are you expecting from this organization going forward?
Well, I think, you know, we were a little bit surprised at the timing of it, but I think, you know, it was one of those where, you know, you had somebody that, you know, is very good at the salary cap and those kind of things, but when you dabble into the personnel side of it, mm-hmm. I think sometimes it dilutes the value of, you know, what your job is and, you know, whether or not you're really good at it. And I just think, you know, Jimmy Haslam is a guy that, you know, asks a lot of questions, and you learn a lot by asking questions, and I think he found that the foundation of what he was trying to build there, the way they had it set up, wasn't the right way. And he did, you know, to his credit, you know, he made a move, and he made a move very quickly.
And Doug, there couldn't have been more of a lightning rod than Michael Lombardi, and he's no longer here. Does that change things just in terms of perception of the organization? Because that was the one guy that, you know, people seem to have the most negative opinion about.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, that, you know, his, you know, career tenure in the NFL, he's been with about four or five teams and really never has stuck any place other than when he originally started here. And I think if you go back to those drafts where, you know, you had Antonio Langham and Craig Powell and Tommy Vardell in the first round, you know, and Steve Everett, but Steve was, you know, guy who was a viable player, but the rest of them really never panned out. And, you know, then this last, you know, draft, they traded out of a couple rounds and probably overdrafted Leon McFadden. You know, the track record didn't merit, you know, the reputation.
You know, Doug, it really was amazing, and you used to point it out to me, when we would arrive early in the morning at the stadiums, and no matter where we were, here on the road, and Jimmy Haslam was an information gatherer, wasn't he? He was always out there asking questions, whether it was our assistant coaches or he would get an opportunity to meet somebody from the opposition, you know, for that particular Sunday. He was really very keenly interested in what was going on and what people were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our first trip to Baltimore when he took over the team, I remember one of the first people he sought out was Ozzie Newsome. And, you know, I talked to Ozzie afterwards, and he says, yeah, he knows something about football. And, you know, that's one of those things. And, you know, as Jimmy Haslam said, you know, there's a learning curve in the NFL, and there's, you know, everybody wants to see your franchise do well financially, but they're all in it for themselves when it comes to the wins and losses. And I think, you know, sometimes the NFL kind of steers you in one direction, which is might not be the best direction for the win-loss column. It might be better for the profits column. But I think Jimmy sorted that out in a short period of time and did what he had to do. And, you know, he's got a situation now where he brought in Ray Farmer. And Ray, you know, as I mentioned, Ozzie, Ray kind of reminds me of Ozzie. He's mm-hmm. a guy that, you know, he's played the game. So when he talks to a player, he can see through it. And I think that's one of the great things that Ozzie has done in Baltimore is he's taken guys that, you know, people say, well, you know, he's got a red flag. Well, Ozzie can sit down and talk to a guy and find out whether that guy, red flag is something that's going to hold him back as a football player or if it's just something that, you know, the guy did as a young age. It was stupid and, you know, he's moved on.
Yeah, I've never heard of a player from the Ravens ever really say they've had an issue with Ozzie Newsome. You're right about that. There really is no book, as Jimmy pointed out last week. There is no book, Doug, no course. And if there was a course on how to be an NFL owner, there's no question you would have taken it at Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I would have taken it probably in my graduate studies, which I'll have to go back for.
Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Radio, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joining us here on ClevelandBrowns.com. And, Doug, as we look further into some of the key moves that this team has to make, Ray Farmer is going to be overseeing. And let's start with the two players who are becoming free agents, Alex Mack, T.J. Ward, especially with Alex Mack and your O-line perspective on that. What are you seeing with him and the wisdom of getting this guy tied up to a long-term deal?
Well, you know, a lot of times people, you know, in the personnel department say you don't take some center in the first round. Well, when you take one in the first round and he's been to a couple Pro Bowls and he's a very dependable player, I mean, he lines up and he plays every Sunday for you. That's a plus, a dependability. Then you take the intelligence factor into it, and Alex is about as smart as you're going to get. I mean, he's a very intelligent player. Then you take in the way he plays, and he hustles his tail off. He plays hard. He's a physical player, and he makes all the calls. And I just think that he's a very important, you know, part. And you put a first-round draft pick into him, and, you know, he had first-round value. I mean, he's giving you first-round value. So I think it's important that they try to get Alex Mack back.
Hey, Doug, what about this new way that the Browns are going to play, this zone blocking and with their offensive line? How will that work, if you can explain it to us? And second of all, what would Mack be, you know, how important would he be in that, and how do you think he would fit into that?
Well, I think he'd fit very well because he's, you know, he's athletic for a center. He can, you know, obviously think on his feet, but he also can move his feet. And, you know, when you do that zone blocking, you know, you're kind of moving down the line and trying to get some movement at the same time, you know, trying to create some holes for the running back where he reads the blocks and then he hits the hole. And I think, you know, you want athletic people. When we've talked, you know, a couple times about it, you know, the guard position might have to be upgraded for some more athletic type people. But I think, you know, with Joe Thomas and if you can get Alex Mack back, and I think Mitchell Schwartz is very athletic. So you've got three key components. Now, you know, how much, you know, as we've, since the last couple of years here, we've not pulled our guards a lot. You know, we'll pull our center and we'll pull our tackle, but we don't pull the guards a lot. And I think, you know, you're going to have guards that can run and, you know, move in space and be athletic. And, you know, they're going to have to make the evaluation if they think that, you know, the trio that we have, and then you can throw in Garrett Gilkey, who's, you know, was on the squad most of the year. So you got four guards to look at, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you can find one of them that's going to fit it, and if not, and hopefully two, but if not, then you got to look in the draft.
Doug, the other guy, of course, T.J. Ward, heading into free agency, does it make sense for this team to also tie him up to a longer-term deal? This guy's had some issues staying healthy, but he is coming off the very best of his four seasons in the NFL, really seemed to solidify a lot of things there. Or, you know, do you see just putting a tag on this guy? But bottom line, do you see this team just making sure you don't part ways with T.J. Ward?
Well, I'd like to see him keep T.J. too, because I think, you know, last year he really kind of came into his own as far as a safety. And we all knew that he could, you know, hit, but, you know, I think, you know, he showed last year that he had a little more flexibility. He used him more, you know, a lot of times almost as a linebacker down inside the box. And, you know, the thing about TJ is, you know, there's that relationship he has with Joe Hayden. And, you know, Joe Hayden's going to be coming up here. And I know there's, you know, stories that, you know, they've started to talk to Joe. But I think that'll have a big part of what Joe's decision is. And I think you got to take that into perspective, too.
So, really, the thing with Ward, the only thing, if it's indeed a blemish at all, Doug, would be his durability, right? I mean, in his first couple of years, he did not finish either one of those seasons because he had injuries. But he got through last year, and you think that on the upscale, he's keepable, huh?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. You know, and, you know, injuries are something that you can't control.
Right.
Everybody's going to get hurt. Maybe you might desire somebody with a little bit more range. But when you look for range, you give that you lose that ability to come up and smack people. And I think that's what, you know, TJ really brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does bring that. And the other thing, Doug, is, of course, this is a big week because the combine is coming up. Be heading out to Indianapolis for that. The Browns will have all their contingent there. Is there anything in particular? I'd like to know how you look at the combine in general, and like a lot of people probably tuning in on NFL Network to watch the workouts and such over the weekend. But what are some of the things that maybe from your standpoint you'd like to see this team, the Browns, come back with from an information standpoint from this?
Well, I think, you know, Mike Pettine has already said that, you know, he has met with Ray Farmer, and he is giving them the description of the type of players that he wants, and, you know, on the offensive side. And I'm sure Kyle Shanahan will have a big input on that part, and also on the defensive side. And, you know, you draft people that fit your system. Jimmy Haslam was with the Pittsburgh Steelers for, a few years, and that's the thing that the Steelers have always done. They draft people that fit their system. And, in doing so, on the defensive side, a lot of time a top draft pick will not start in his first year. And they'll just get him ready to play, and then when he steps in, there's like nothing ever happened. Yeah. And they just continue to be a dominant defense.
Yeah.
So I think, that's one of the things. I just hope that, Ray, Farmer, starts from scratch from, with his information and goes with the information that he has obtained and in his evaluations and that of his scouts. And, they go out and get people that fit what Mike wants to do.
Doug, was there a combine when you came into the league, or was it just actually a piece of farm machinery?
It was a piece of farm machinery. Okay. I remember I was down at the Senior Bowl and some scout was measure me, and he says, stand up tall, that extra inch might be worth an extra $500.
Nicely done. Doug, thank you.
Okay.
And we look forward to catching up with you again very soon, my friend.
Okay, I'm going to go out in the farm machinery and get ready for the draft.
Okay. See, it's Combine Doug from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim Donovan sitting in for Nathan Zagura. Vic Carucci with you. Your calls at 216-578-0850. We're going to have some fun with After Further Review, one of the regular features on this show. Our producer, Jason Gibbs, will be walking us through that. Gerard Cherry will also join us a little later this hour as well.
I really, that's great having him on. I miss seeing him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I got to tell you.
Deke, you guys are... joined at the elbow.
Yeah, there you go.
Although
his elbow's a little higher than mine.
All right, yeah. His elbow, your shoulder. Stick around for more. I'll see you.